rescued you. Oh, I'll be glad when you did to rescue you. Boy, will I be tickled to death when you leave this earth, you know. Oh, you ask my wife for a meal and something else you try to steal. Oh, you ain't no good at all, you rescue you.
Welcome to Mr. Ron's Basement. This is Mr. Ron, and you are in the basement. We just heard a selection from You Rascal You, recorded by Bert Ambrose and his orchestra, with vocals probably by Sam Brown and recorded somewhere around the year 1930. This week on the basement, we are going to explore some of the writing of George Horatio Derby. Derby was actually a member of the Army Topographical Engineers in the late 1840s and 1850s. He had a brilliant career with the Army, but at the same time, he had an incorrigible sense of humor and a reputation for performing practical jokes. One legend says that he was assigned to survey a river between Mississippi and Alabama and to see how far up it runs. So he sent back a telegram saying, "My conclusion is that the Tombigbee River does not run up, but down." Not long after that, he was sent to Fort Yuma in California, just over the border from Yuma, Arizona, where he would tell new recruits, "One of our Fort Yuma men died and unfortunately went to hell. He wasn't there one day before he telegraphed for his blanket." After a while, he was transferred to San Diego, where he began writing short, humorous pieces for the local newspaper. Many of his pieces were written with the pen name Professor John Phoenix, or Squibob. Today's story from the 1855 book Phoenixiana, or Sketches and Burlesques, The Antidote for Fleas, by John Phoenix. The following recipe from the writings of Miss Hannah Moore may be found useful to your readers. In a climate where the attacks of fleas are a constant source of annoyance, any method which will alleviate them becomes a desideratum. It is therefore with pleasure that I make known the following recipe, which I am assured has been tried with efficacy. Boil a quart of tar until it becomes quite thin. Remove the clothing, and before the tar becomes perfectly cool, with a broad, flat brush, apply a thin, smooth coating to the entire surface of the body and limbs. While the tar remains soft, the flea becomes entangled in its tenacious folds and is rendered perfectly harmless. But it will soon form a hard, smooth coating, entirely impervious to his bite. Should the coating crack at the knee or elbow joints, it is merely necessary to retouch it slightly at those places. The whole coat should be removed every 3 or 4 weeks. This remedy is sure, and having the advantage of simplicity and economy, should be generally known. So much for Miss Moore. A still simpler method of preventing the attacks of these little pests is one which I have lately discovered myself. In theory only. I have not yet put it into practice. On feeling the bite of a flea, thrust the part bitten immediately into boiling water. The heat of the water destroys the insect and instantly removes the pain of the bite. You've probably heard of old Parry Docks. I met him here a few days since in a sadly seedy condition. He told me that he was still extravagantly fond of whiskey, though he was constantly running it down. I inquired after his wife. "She is dead, poor creature," said he, "and is probably far better off than ever she was here. She was a seamstress, and her greatest enjoyment of happiness in this world was only so-so."